This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this night. Father, we thank you, Father, for what you're about to do, Lord. And we're just waiting expectantly upon you, Holy Spirit, to fill us afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you take your seat, give somebody a hug. Tell him God wants to fill you with new wine, okay? Okay, spiritual, eh? Well, good evening. Let me just do a sound check quickly. Good evening. That's it. Front row is in. Good evening. The back there. We're all in there. Check, sound check. We're all here. Okay. Okay. You know, the only rule at evening service is you need to help me preach here. Okay. Amen. Let's try again. You need to help me preach. Okay. I forgot it. Okay. You mag maar praat in die kerk. Okay. It's nie sonde nie. Okay. So we've been talking in sharing in our worship series, which was a very exciting series, as with the prayer series. And this evening or this morning, we started concluding on this series. And I really trust God that during this time and from here onwards, that you would really get to that place of spontaneously worshiping. This afternoon, we're coming back from friends. And anyway, long story short, sometimes you just sing spontaneously. Nowadays, I tend to forget where I do it anyway. So with my kids and everybody around me, even the lady, I think I told you last time, the lady that was working for us, you know, just go everywhere and you just sing, and that song is continuously just in your spirit and on your heart, and you wake up with certain songs and you just give it to God. Okay? So I was singing this afternoon again. It's just, I would do that so often, just singing in tongues, and my little girl would just look at me, "Daddy, What's that? I said, "No, just relax. One day you'll be able to do that as well." But, it's just that God wants us to overflow continuously. There needs to be a song written in your heart tonight. And I trust God for us as a church that we will be at that place continuously, that we're so filled with the joy of the Lord, that we're so happy, so content, that we continuously just want to sing unto God. Amen? Huh? Otherwise, I don't know why we preach on worship if we don't do that, if we don't practice that. And I know I've said three weeks ago, when I started with the sermon, when we started with that, I said it's more than just, you know, we said it's more than just the song, but we emphasized, we put some emphasis on the song itself or the music where we want to stand still. And I want to conclude tonight and just quickly recap on some of the things that we said to one another. We said to one another that worship is love expressed, okay? Worship is love expressed. If it's not love, then it's not worship, okay? If there's not love in this whole thing, or if you express anything else without love, that is not worship. Are you with me here? Okay? So we can't just sing a song. It's more than just singing a song tonight to Jesus. It's our love that we express to. And I mentioned as well, I think two overarching principles that I saw through Scripture is that worship is always expressive, and that giving is also always accompanying our worship. That's why finances or giving our time, like I said last time, is such a vital thing, because it measures or it actually shows that we are worshiping. Sorry, I've been at the sport event and I didn't cheer that loud. I don't know, my voice just disappeared over the weekend, and now after this morning as well, I have to really push it through. If I cough a lot, forgive me. But worship is not only love, but it's a command from God. Amen? It's a command from God. The day when you and me, when we met Christ, something uniquely took place inside of us. There was a transition. There's a change of heart that took place, the rebirth, salvation. There's a lot of ways to describe that tonight. But you receive the new heart. And the moment you receive the new heart, you receive an ability and a desire to praise Almighty God, to say, "Lord, you are good." Right? the day when you fell in love with him, that day when he touched your heart, something took place there and you wanted to sing a song. I don't know about you, but I couldn't stop talking about him. And somewhere along the line, sometimes we lose that. We tend to graduate. We become more, I don't know how I should describe that. We get some stripes and then we think, you know, it's not necessary. But we should be in love with God daily. And God says that we should worship wherever. We should leak. I said, love leaks. So I'm expecting a few leaks here tonight. Okay. After you leave here tonight, that you continue to leak. Thanks, Hanu. Nog water. Ik ga bij je gebruiken. No, thank you. You're very kind of you. At least you think of me. Thank you. I feel so special tonight. But the word says in Genesis 4, verse 5 to 20, 25 and 26, that the man began to call upon the Lord. Always wondered about that scripture. Man began to call upon the Lord. I mean, this is now Genesis 4. Adam and Eve already created. They let al bietjie droog gemaak ook also. You ken die story. And then the Bible says in Genesis 4, verse 25, that man began to call upon the Lord. But if you go back to that, you will find that from the start, when God created Adam and Eve, they were in conversation with God. Adam named so many animals, and they were talking. They were in communion with God. They were in the perfect communion that man would have with God. And then the fall came, and after the fall, man only answered the questions. Man never initiated a conversation. They only answered the questions asked by God. Up to Genesis 4, that something took place and man could start calling upon God again. And now you've got the ability and I've got the ability tonight to call upon the name. And that is worth an amen. Huh? Anytime you can call upon the name of God, and there's a Father in heaven that hears your voice. There's the Holy Spirit here on earth that hears our voice. That moment when a child of him says, Jesus, his attention. All the angels just go. There's a child of you, just call upon your name. Think about that. I mean, sometimes I say things and then I realize, what did I say just now? Wow, God, that is just, and it's not about me saying, it's just the truth, the intensity of the truth is just so powerful. The fact that when we call upon him, there's a Father that's just suddenly paying attention. And I need to talk or quickly share on the fruits of worship tonight, but I guess it's more like a process that I want to share on that hopefully would become a catalyst or help us to understand what God wants to do or how worship works when we come together. So if you want to turn with me to Revelation 4 verse 6, we're going to read from Revelation 4 verse 6 to 11, and then also another passage in John 1 verse 35. We've got it up there anyway. So you can just follow on the screen. John 1 35, can we just go to that one maybe first? I want you to pay attention to certain specific words. This is the time when Jesus chose some of his first disciples. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. I want you to pay attention to that word, behold. Okay, I'm going to come back to that. Behold, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them, following them, said to them, what do you seek? Next one. They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. Come and see. Behold, saw, see. Okay. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Next one. Okay. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah, you shall be called Kephas, which is translated a stone. Notice what's happening here. People busy with their own business. John's there with his disciples. And then suddenly, one man appears on the scene, and it's not an ordinary man. And John would stop the conversation and say, behold, stop what you're busy with. Behold. I'm going to come back to that. Look at the revelation tonight. Because there's something about this seeing, about this beholding, about this gazing that God wants to say to us tonight in our worship. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes. Huh? Imagine that. The whole being filled with eyes. We can't imagine. You think all these funny movies or these movies about the sci-fi and supernatural, the Bible is a lot of... Anyway, I'm not saying the Bible is sci-fi. All I'm just saying is that some of these stuff is sometimes just too much for us. Okay, I have to correct myself there. Creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, listen to this, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Amen. Listen, we're going to repeat a lot of stuff in heaven. You're going to get used to that. Wie al uitskryf werk in skool gehad? Jy gaan uitskryf in die hemel, okay? But in a good way. It just popped in my mind. Forgive me for that one. Okay? You're going to sit there. And you look at God and you say, holy, holy, holy. And it's not the holy Moses. Okay? I know. He's holy because God is holy. He's just so awesome. He's just so big. He's just so, cannot be described in words. And he's just going to stand there and you're just going to, the whole thing about the eyes is just talking about the watchfulness, a continuously watchfulness. When we talk here about, when we see here tonight, what God is saying to us that we cannot worship, listen to me, you cannot worship without the revelation of God. That all of us need to come to that place where we're busy with our own things sometimes, and Jesus walks into your life and suddenly, I almost want to say all hell break loose, but suddenly everything else crumbles around you. You realize there's somebody else in your life. Behold. Behold. Stop. Stop and look. See. Gaze. And I tell you what, I believe God wants to take us back to that place of just beholding again. Because I tell you what, Peter looked into Jesus' eyes and Peter knew exactly what he did wrong. And if we can get to that place again of just beholding the beauty of our Lord, it'll take us to a different level of worship. You cannot worship without a revelation of God. And guess what? Jesus stepped into their world. Jesus stepped into my world. Jesus stepped into your world. That's the beauty of this whole story. I didn't have to go and find him, but Jesus knew my address and he knew your address. And all he wants when he walks into your life is just behold. There's so many scriptures, there's so many stories in scripture. When Jesus would just enter the scene and people would just leave what they're busy with, sometimes not leave what they're busy with, and all they want is, just behold, I'm here in your midst. See, when the disciples, when they're there, they're busy mending their nets, they're busy doing their business, they see Jesus. They have a revelation of Jesus. John says, behold, there is he. See. And then something needs to take place after you have the revelation. I call it abandonment. You see, you have to abandon what you're busy with in order to truly worship. Because revelation leads to abandonment. We cannot, listen, my friends, we cannot truly worship with a revelation without abandoning something. We need to walk away from some stuff. We need to put down certain stuff. We sometimes need to put down that phone. We sometimes just need to silence certain things. We sometimes just have to put aside certain things and say, God, this is your time. This is belonging to you. I've been in the meeting the other day, 2 weeks ago, and we had Issachos, a meeting there with JP. And, you know, sometimes I see that we had a conversation yesterday morning as well with friends, and we were talking about this whole thing about this generation that's so struggling to be present. We're just continuously busy. Everything's trying to get our attention. There's 150 emails and there's 20 WhatsApp messages, if that's maybe this, maybe not even more. And then there's Facebook and there's Instagram and there's so many other things. There's a few calls that I need to make, you know, as long as everything is trying to get my attention, just to grab my attention, and I'm never present. And you see that in church sometimes. We struggle to be present here. And God is ever present. Listen, God is not, now he's not here. God is to check a few messages. I'll be back now. Huh? That sounds like Terminator. You must watch the movies. Your own movies. Okay. Don't you know that movie? Okay. I'll watch a few more, newer ones, and then I'll pull a few lines from there. Anyway, if you're in lach, is it okay? Well, let me tell you the story. I'll be back. Okay. I've been in Isaac, as I told you. And anyway, we're sitting there and we're having a meeting. And next thing, this woman, Tani, they are gray. And I took a photo. I wanted to put it up there. But now gray doesn't qualify. I'm just saying, I'm going backwards now. They are old. Okay. ek is in die gat. Julle moet my help. Okay. Toe maar man, ek is ook 'n oom en tannie vir jou. O, nee, tannie nie, asseblief. Nou raak dit erger. Okay. Nou moet ek diep asemhaal en van voor af begin, hè? Huh? I'll try again. Anyway, so they're sitting there. Anyway, and I thought, you know, we as a younger generation sometimes struggle to be present. But here's this oom en tannie with their phones, and they sit there around a cup of coffee. And the tannie sits there, and the oom sits here, and they sit like that. And I took a photo. I thought, this is actually interesting. And I wanted to show it, but I thought, no way, maybe I'll be in trouble. Maybe it's somebody's family. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, it touches every generation, young and old. They'll be sometimes so occupied. Now, I don't know if they send messages to one another, if they spoke to one another. I don't know. Or they maybe watch the photos of the children. I don't know. That's, forgive me if I, all I'm just trying to say here tonight is, sometimes it's so difficult for us to be present. Sometimes it's so difficult for us to behold, to see, just to stop and smell the coffee, like they say. Huh? Sometimes just to pull aside and say, God, oh, the sunset is so beautiful. You still paint the best sunsets. Huh? I mean, when this weather sometimes is so, with the east weather, I just sometimes just stop there and I walk alongside the sea and I would just praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I can see this, that I can be part of this. You are the God that created, that you put this together. And God expects of all of us tonight that when we see, when we behold, when we gaze, when we experience him, abandon that what you're busy with and come to me. The Bible says that they remained with him. The disciples followed. Revelation 4 verse 10 says that the elders, can we quickly go to that verse? I just woke up all the people that... that's watching the movie, not the movie, the streaming. Tonight I am just stumbling over my words, so forgive me. For the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. Worship him. That word worship, can I explain this to you? It's the Greek word proskuneo. Proskuneo, that's made up of two words, root words, Greek words. Pros and kuneo, okay? So, what it means, pros means to show reverence, to bow down, to bow your knee. And listen, if you can't bow your knee, you'll have to start practicing because you'll have to do that a lot in heaven. Okay? Sorry. No, mine sometimes also. Okay, so I have to do that. Okay. But sometimes it's just pain in the leg. So you'll have to practice and say, God, you'll need to help me, but you're going to give me a new body, huh? Anyway. Amen. Thanks, we get a new body and new joints and all of that, because the old joints is not going to work in heaven. You can't bend there, and God says, you're going to bend a lot, you know, you're going to get on your knees and just say, no, this is what Scripture says in Philippians 2. So we're going to bend down. Worship is bending down, but guess what? There's something more here. Young people, listen to this. You're going to like this one. The second part of that word means, I can't demonstrate this, but I'll say this, kiss. I know it's foreign. Bend down and kiss. You know, we've got a picture of worship. But when we look at Scripture here, there's something about this whole thing about kissing God. And I just sense that God was speaking to us and saying, you know how many of us sing songs to God, but we never kiss God? Because kissing denotes something about the intimacy when we enter into the presence of God. It's not here. We're not here to sing songs. Listen, by the way, God didn't need us to worship Him. Did you know that? That God had angels. He had enough angels to worship Him. He had enough of that. But then God said, you know what? I want to create a being that's able, that's got free will, and that through His free will, He can love. And then He created us. And here's the thing. We are so unique. We're the only being that can love and worship tonight from that place to bow down and say, God, You're worthy. I want to kiss You. I had a book that I read many years ago about enjoying God, and the other one I think was, what is the one, Enjoying God and the Falling, no, I can't remember, Mike Beagle and S.J. Hill, two authors of this book, but, or The Pleasures of Loving God, that's the name of the book. Anyway, long story short is they were talking about this whole concept of loving workers rather than working lovers. Yeah. Listen, sorry, other way around, working lovers as opposed to loving workers. Okay, so here's the thing, I know it boggles your mind for a moment what I threw in there. We call to love first, and from that place we work. From that place we serve. But a lot of times we get it wrong, like Mary and Martha. But Jesus actually commended Mary there. Jesus said, listen, she's got it right. She knows what is more important than to love. And from that place of love, we worship. From that place of love, we serve. From that place of love, we give. And God has called us to that place tonight. That when we abandon, it can lead us to worship. See, when we talk about kissing God, Solomon, Song of Solomon, that favorite, famous book. A lot of us avoid that book because you think it's just a book of love, okay? But actually, he's talking about the love of a king. And he's saying this, look at this scripture in Song of Solomon, verse 1 and 2. He says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is better than wine. Song of Solomon 1 verse 2. Isn't that beautiful? And God is saying to us tonight, maybe it's time that we get to that place of intimacy in our worship. That we can, and I know it sounds strange, people. In our concept, in our how we look at it. That God says, kiss me. Get to that place of touching me. Touching the hem of my garment. And the last point tonight I want to make is, you know, that worship, that when we get to that place of worship, it leads to movement. Worship leads to movement. I want you to see what happened in both of these passages we read. The disciples, busy with their own thing, Jesus walks in. Behold. Stop. Look. See. The elders appears. Or that Jesus appears, and they look full of eyes. And what do? They abandon, and they start following. There's movement in their life. You cannot say to me tonight that you worship God, and there's not movement in your life. When we are called to worship, there's something inside of us that wants to move with Him, that wants to follow with Him. Follow Him. And that beautiful word, remain with Him. I just get emotional when I think about that word. Because I don't know if we often remain with Him. Because the longer we remain, we're like a rocket. I guess I, from time to time, struggle to remain. And the Holy Spirit wants us to remain. To remain in Jesus' presence. We've got the Holy Spirit tonight. That we continuously can have that. So the 24 elders cast down their crowns. People, the crowns represent their rewards that they received here on earth for their work. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. Sometimes it's works that were forged together in painful obedience. And as a result, they receive those rewards. You know what? Whatever we're going to do here on earth, and whatever crown we're going to receive in heaven, the day when we met our Savior, I tell you what, no crown, nothing that He gave us will be so worthy than His presence. And I can see that picture in my mind that we'll probably take that off and say, Jesus, we're not worthy of that. We'll cast it in front of your feet. Because you're the only one worthy. I cannot wear a crown. Even though Father put it on us, even though Father gives us those things, even though Father rewards us, when we truly get in his presence, we'll probably take that off. Say, you're the only one. I was in Walvis Bay 2 weeks ago, and I was standing at the back there, and we were worshiping. I love how the Holy Spirit sometimes just draw our attention to certain things. And there was one of our mommies there with a little baby. The baby was still in his pram. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit drew my attention to this baby. And all I could see is that little boy is actually beholding. I didn't have the sermon in my spirit yet. I guess God was busy giving me some stuff, busy preparing me. And I could see his eyes, and his mommy was standing there worshiping right in front of him, facing the band. And then the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and this little boy's eyes was just all on his mommy. And I knew what God was saying to me. He said to me, you know, not only do we demonstrate to our children what worship looks like, but he said something more to me, and it struck me. He said, if we can just keep our eyes on the Holy Spirit, he'll point us to Jesus continuously. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is the greatest worshiper in the universe. And all he wants to do is just bring all the attention back to Jesus. Behold. Behold. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can just again tonight behold that you're about to do something new, Lord, that you want our attention, Lord, tonight, Lord. You want us to stop and see that you are where you are. I want you for a moment just to turn your affection towards Jesus. Just become aware of his presence in this room. Maybe you need to close your eyes just to see again. Or see afresh tonight. For some of you tonight, you're probably going to see the first time ever like you've never seen before. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and God wants to touch you. You've never been in a relationship with God, and tonight Jesus wants to stop in front of you and just say, here I am. And he wants to touch your heart, and he wants to change that heart, like I said earlier on. He wants to give you a new heart tonight, that you can worship like never before. He wants to bring you to a place of complete surrender. He wants to bring you to a place of just saying, Jesus, here I am. Be my Lord and my Savior. Come and take control of my life tonight. Maybe God brought you here with a purpose, because he knew that was his plan, that the Holy Spirit set you up tonight to meet with you, to say, here I am, behold. I'm going to give you opportunity, while every eye is closed, just to raise your hand and say, that's me, Yaku. I need to stop and see tonight. I need to surrender tonight. I need to get to that place tonight and say, here's my life, Jesus. While nobody's looking around, I just want you, just quickly raise your hand wherever you are. And I'm going to pray with you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.